If you will, take your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. We'll be back in the Old Testament again tonight as we were this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we started last week looking at the topic of emotions. Emotions. And sure hope to be a blessing to you. 1 Kings 19. Well, we started out looking at a couple characters throughout the Bible, but in particular that of Samson last week, and how Samson had an appetite about him, not only for food, but in other areas as well. And boy, he had some trouble, and he ended up getting in a lot of trouble. And God used him anyways in a great and a mighty way. And we saw that how our emotions are to be our gauges and not our guide, right? And how that God uses our emotions ultimately in His will, and they are not to overtake us and consume us and, or if you will, control us. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19, the story goes, and you've read your Bible through, I'm sure, before. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to read through this again. But Elijah does this great work. He reveals who ultimately who the God of heaven is, and he puts to shame the prophets of Baal and all others there. So we see that. Now, Ahab is after him. His wife, Jezebel, is after him. Notice, and Ahab, verse 1, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now again, we're going to look at him in just a minute, Ahab, but he's a crybaby. Man, this guy's a crybaby. Then Jezebel, notice, sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He fled and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. We'll continue in a minute, but I want you to notice that with me here this evening that Elijah, the great prophet of God, boy, he was used in a mighty way, wasn't he? The great prophet. Well, he was susceptible to some problems as well. He got scared. He got fearful, but he also got hungry, or we call hangry. He got hungry. He got weak. What did God do? He said, Elijah, why don't you rest? Let me give you something to eat. Get you something to drink here. Rest again. I'm going to feed you again, and then go in the strength of that into the journey. Or we would say the will of God. Now, if we're not careful again, we can allow, and I want to touch on this a little bit tonight, some of the superficial things or easily remedied things we can use to fix some of our emotional state by way of maybe it's taking a little bit of rest, a little bit of more food intake, or in my part, maybe a little less food intake, a little more healthier things of drinking more water and other such things. There are some easier ways, if we want to say it, to remedy maybe some of our emotional state. As you think about it, as we go through, and we saw a little bit last week and how that this man Samson had a great deal of trouble because he did not, number one, follow that which God gave him to do. We saw that, first of all, number one last week was that we're to submit our emotions under the direction and authority of the Word of God. We should always do that. We always have, now sometimes it's inevitable we have maybe an outburst or we have something of that nature, but we should submit for the most part our emotions under the will of God, under the Word of God. That's what we should have done. That's what Samson should have done. That's why we saw in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. The word careful, you know, means don't be anxious, don't be stressed out, don't have anxiety about anything. But what? let your request be made known unto God, and saying to him, God, I can't handle this. You know that. I give it to you. And then it says what? What's the remedy? And the peace of God. There it is. That's what we want. I want the peace of God. I want to have control over my emotions, and God gives that to us. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, to cast down the imaginations, the high things that exalt themselves. Bring into captivity every thought. Notice that you have control over your thoughts. Now, we can't. There's thoughts that pop in our head that we just came out of nowhere. You have those all the time, don't you? Like me? Just you're going, what in the world? But notice what he says. Get a hold of that. Right? Get it in control. You're not going to do that. Right? You're not going to do that. Thinking through that. Now, I think I've said it before, but I think it was Spurgeon that said, you can't help the birds flying over your head, but you don't have to sit and let them make a nest in your hair. You can do something about it. But notice this, take control of and grab those thoughts and bring them into what? Bring them into captivity. Bring them under the authority of the Word of God and say, nope, that is not correct. The Bible says I shouldn't think that way. The Bible says I shouldn't say that. I'm upset with that person and they irritate the fire out of me, but I'm not going to go after. I'm not going to say that. Why? I want to represent God in all of that. Now, that's what we saw. We saw that ignorance of the Word can bring great danger to us. And we transgress, as we saw this morning, that transgressors shall be rooted out. Hasty reactions and other things of that nature will affect the people around us. Now, as we see here tonight, this individual, by the way, of Elijah. Now, as you think about here, we see that they stand, often emotions, let me say, and they stand in opposition to our faith and to God's will. What he's trying to accomplish in our lives. God may allow something into our lives to try and get us to position us in another area, to get us to turn, if you will, you want to say spiritually, to get us to go another way or to make a decision in another direction. He may allow something like that. And if we're not careful, those emotions, they can stand in direct opposition of those things. I saw this, a little kid wrote one time, and I thought it was I never thought about it before. But you know why so many people eat more sweets and desserts when they get stressed? None of you know, do you? Because stressed spelled backwards is desserts. Isn't that great? Did you ever think about that? None of you thought about that, did you? See, now you know that. You can use that at work. All right. Why are you eating so many sweets? Well, honey, you know the spelled back. I'm just trying to get my stress to go backwards, right? I'm just trying to get it go. You think about here. We learn more from the difficult seasons and hard times than the pleasant ones. It's easy to say, hard to take, isn't it? And God allows these things into our lives. Now, just talking about here, these emotions. Now, note with me here in our portion of Scripture here, as we look here, that we have the attack on God's man. And you and I must understand that we're going to be not only attacked, but criticized. What was he criticized or what was he threatened? Why was he threatened? Well, it was simply not because he was doing something wrong. He was doing something right, wasn't he? He served God and he called fire down from heaven to prove that God was God and that their gods, lowercase G-O-D, were false, paganistic idols. And you see this. When you serve God and do what's right, there will be opposition. Now, God may allow the opposition in our lives to get us to maybe get control in one area of our emotional state. Thinking about this, we must know how God sees us. How we see us is not how God sees us. Isn't that true? We think, now you think of yourself, maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a little bit of higher standard or higher view of yourself, but you may see yourself a little bit higher than others. But for most of us, we see ourselves lower, maybe, than people see us. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm not that. I can't do this or that. Now, you think about how God sees us is vital to understanding our emotions. Because when we may go into something of, say, I'll use the example of anger or example of frustration or something like that, we must come back to understand, hey, how does God see me? Well, God sees me as one of his children. And I can be, as the Bible says, an overcomer. I overcome. I'm not swayed by these things. And Paul says this, none of these things, what? Move me. That word move means affect me, what challenges me, pushes me aside, puts me down. None of these things do that, he says. What? None of them. I press toward the mark. He will later say that he finished his course with joy and the ministry. He did what he was supposed to do. You and I can do what we're supposed to do and not have to allow these things to hinder us or keep us down. Now notice the threat from the enemy. When he saw that in verse 3, he arose and went for his life. Now this man was just the one on top of Mount Carmel, you recall, calling down fire from heaven and making fun of the prophets of Baal. Surely your God is on vacation. Surely he's somewhere else right now and doesn't. Maybe he's busy, can't hear you, what you're saying. He's just letting them have it, you know. And now that he sees this is real, if you will, these enemies come and threaten his life directly. He heads out, went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he says, oh, Lord, I'm not good enough. I'm not better than my fathers, Lord. I'm not one that is worthy of what you want me to do. And now notice he forgets about all that God already did for him and through him. If we're not careful, when we get into a tough situation, a little bit of a stressful situation, a little bit of a downgraded situation, or we're having a hard time, we often can what? Look down upon ourselves. And we can say, Lord, oh God, I can't do it. I'm not worthy. Notice, better than my fathers. In fact, if you read the Bible, none of his forefathers did what he did. Isn't that amazing? None of his forefathers. Abraham didn't call down fire. Moses did a lot of things, but did he do all that Elijah had just done? No. And what did he say? Oh, right. We get all dramatic. We get real out of control with it. Now notice again, how does God see me? What does God look at when he looks down upon me? How does he know me? God, I love this quote, God is ready to assume full responsibility of the life completely dedicated to him. He's ready to assume full responsibility. I'll go ahead and take responsibility. When our lives are dedicated to him, given over to him, our emotions, our feelings, you think about it, can only be changed by the transformational work of the Holy Spirit. The only way. Now he was defeated. Can I encourage you with this, under this here, that we need to not only see ourselves as God sees us, that will take a lot of the pomposity and the pride out of it, but we see how God sees us and we take some remedies to these things. Our natural tendency, you know, I'm speaking of myself, is to sulk and sour in that state of being, isn't it? Why don't you have something to eat and rest a little bit? No, I'm fine. I'd rather not. Take a little bit of time. So you know what? For the betterment, for the glory of God, as we'll look at in just a minute, I'm going to do all that I can to put myself in the position to better serve him and to maybe get rid of these things in my life that are hindrances to the will of God. Now think about it. He laid him down. He ate, had something to eat. He laid down, had some rest. He took something to drink. Notice, he says, arise and eat. And he saw that. Now the provisions are given to us by God. We know that. And he arose, verse 8, and did drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Now that's a long time. That is a long time. He goes in the strength of that 40 days. Now, I'm going to stray a little bit here, so bear with me. But when God provides, you can go a lot longer than when you try and provide for yourself. Does that make sense? When you try to remedy your problem or rectify your issue, you won't get very far. You do it God's way. Listen, you'll get a lot further. You'll go a lot longer in the meat and sustenance that God provides in your life. Notice that. Oh, Elijah was a man of God that he used in a great way. And we see the story. I won't read all of it. But he comes to the cave and God reveals himself Elijah. Notice, if you will, let's read verse number 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. Notice, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God goes forward and he speaks many things to him and understanding these things. But anyways, he talks about that there are still many. 7, verse 18, notice, verse 18, I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Now, Elijah says, Lord, I'm the only one left serving you. I'm the only one being faithful. I'm the only one doing the work in this marriage. I'm the only one helping with the kids. I'm the only one contributing to the family. I'm the right. You ever feel that way? I know I. Yeah, I'm the only one, Lord. He says, in matter of fact, Elijah, just a little heads up. There's actually 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. There's actually other brethren that are out there praying for you. And they got your back and they're with you. And they're with us. They're on our team. Again, the loss of the reality, the view of reality. He says, go and stand. Go and stand. Now again, coming out of this, he says, I want you to go forth. Now our emotions again, they can only be changed by the transformational work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 talks again, you say, and we've read it before, but he says about the transformation by the renewing of your mind, the transforming, not the reforming, but transforming. And the world does its dead level best to try and reform people, don't they? Get them to prison or get them into a work. And those are great things, by the way. You know, get them into this program and get them fixed up and cleaned up. And what they're trying to reform them. The Bible talks, and only the Bible talks about transformation. You literally change a person. And you that are saved tonight know that. You know that that time in your life when you came to know Christ, there was a transformation. It's like you came out of the cocoon, if you will, and spread your wings. You have new life, Paul says. New life in you. I pray you do. And you think about now, are your emotions, are my emotions where they should be? I know that we struggle with those. I speak for myself at times. But for the most part, notice, we must understand that I control those and they don't control me. How do we do? Well, we first assume full responsibility. We must assume full responsibility of our emotions. I take responsibility for that. Yeah, they may have pushed a button. They say that you get around family and it just seems like they know how to push all your buttons. You know why? They're the ones that installed those buttons. Isn't that true? As you grew up, they're the ones that install. Okay, I get it now. Right? And we take full responsibility for it. And when we do, we understand. They don't control me. Yeah, they may have pushed a button. Yeah, they may have done that. Yeah, she said that. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. But notice, I control that. I control these things. Why? Because I know God is in control. By the way, remember this. You know it, I'm sure. But remember, God's work in your life is for your good. We saw some of that this morning. We saw that. It's for your good. He has your best intentions in mind 24/7, 365. And even on the leap year, 366, he has your best intentions in mind. Everything, you say, how could God allow that into my life? How could that happen? I don't understand. And yeah, we don't understand everything. But what? We know his best intentions are in mind for me and for the ones around me, those that are following the will of God. Okay? Now, let me say here and cover my last section here. That was just the introduction. No, just kidding. They stand in opposition to our faith. They stand in opposition to his will. What is he trying to accomplish in our lives is the question that's asked. What is it? What is he trying to do with me? How is he trying to work? Are there some things that he's trying to root out? Now, the great preacher in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, he do not wet the edge, he must put forth more strength. Wet the edge means to sharpen the sword, right? If he does not wet the, you're going to put forth more, it's going to take you a lot longer. Abraham Lincoln had something to say about that along the same lines. You know, why don't you just sharpen your axe, right? Work smarter, not harder. And thinking through that, we understand. So when he's working in our lives, he's working to maybe bring something out in us. He's working to bring something out in me, trying to get me to conform, as Paul says, unto the image of his Son. And become more Christ-like day after day. You know, it's said of Jesus Christ, he was 100% man, but we know he also was 100% God. We understand that. And you see, it says in a particular portion of Scripture that when he was reviled, what did he do? He reviled not again. When he was spit upon and slapped and everything else that they did to him, and the vulgar things they said about his mother, about his father, and all that they did, what does it say? When they reviled, or when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Did not return the same. And that's what we have control over. Oh, as you think about that today, If we could take control over these areas of our lives, it would be a great day for us. You say, well, that seems like an impossibility, but it's not. Because as we saw this morning, we can yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We become a new creature in Christ, as Paul says there, the wonderful truth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Doesn't mean that everything's just clean slate. Sometimes you wish that, don't you, when you get saved? Everything just wiped clean. And they hit the default button. You know, like on some toys, you can turn to default. Everything starts over. It's not true. You still battle with some issues and addictions, and you have some problems here. You're living in the sinful state we live in. But it's to whom we yield ourselves to, Romans 6, Galatians 5. Who you yield yourself to is who you will obey. You're yielding yourself. And I love the word yield, because that's exactly what, same thing we use on the roads, isn't it? Yielding means you pause, because why? They have the right of way. That's the exact same thing we do with the Holy Spirit. And we walk in, we go, oh, Lord, go right ahead. You take the lead, right? If you were to come onto the highway and refuse or fail to yield and get pulled over, you would be at fault, wouldn't you? And that's exactly what he gives the idea there of yielding ourselves, giving God rightful place. Lord, you have the right of way in my life. Now, have you given God your life, one, understanding who you are and how he sees you, and have you assumed full responsibility for your emotions, for yourself? As we see here with Elijah, after God worked with him and helped him to see the will of God for him, I'd encourage you to read this entire chapter. It's such a good chapter. He reminds him of who he is. He reminds him of who God is in return. And God then directs him. And I won't read all of it, but he finds Elisha, who will then take over for Elijah. And I just want to remind you lastly here that there are people behind us that are waiting and watching. There are people behind us that are observing and paying attention and all of these things, aren't they? And God has people behind us that we're to again pass the torch to so that they can carry on in the next generation and reaching people with the wonderful news and the gospel, shining the light of the truth. But as he goes forth, Elijah was not alone. Although he felt alone, he felt defeated, dejected. He was hungry, tired. He was lonely, as you think about all of it. But he had a remedy. Now, the man Ahab that was after him felt all the same things, by the way. He was just the same. He was a crybaby. In one instance, as you read through this, there's a man that he says, I want your garden. The man says, no, you can't have my garden. This is mine. So he goes home to his wife Jezebel. You remember the story? He said he won't give him the garden. And Jezebel says, well, honey, were you firm with him?
Yeah, I tried to be. You know.
And she said, well, I'll handle it. Just go in your room and, you know, eat your chicken noodle soup. I'll be in just a minute. Jezebel goes over there and takes the guy's head off, you know, kills the guy. Here's your garden, honey. Thank you. The guy's a crybaby. He has no control over his emotions either, right? But you think about it, Elijah had a remedy. Elijah had a God, and he had an answer. And you think about today how many people are looking for an answer, looking for the truth, and I hope you do as well. Now listen, submit your heart and your life, but also your emotions and feelings to the Word of God. Where do I go with this problem, man? I'm upset. Go to the Word. And find out what God wants for you to do, how He wants you to respond, how He wants you to handle this. We won't always handle it the right way. We won't always obviously say the right thing. We're going to fly off the handle from time to time and do other things like that. And that's okay, by the way. Don't beat yourself up over it. Don't beat other people up either, okay? Don't beat yourself up over it. But come back and say, Lord, you know what? I want to submit my heart, my emotions to the will of God, but also to the Word of God. And you cannot live inside of the will of God outside of the Word of God. You can't do it. You're not spending time in Scripture. You're going to start waning and getting a little bit lost in the will of God. You and I know that, okay? Well, I'll stop there. I want to cover a few more things next week, Lord willing, as we look at this and continue to look through some characters in the Bible that dealt with these same things. Isn't it comforting to know that these great saints, I mean, none of us can compare to Elijah, but he went through the same things we go through. Isn't that amazing? For me, that's very comforting. And I am so thankful that we have the wonderful Word of God to give us these examples. These things are written for our learning, as it's written in the New Testament. Why do we have the Old Testament and a lot of these things? Well, it's written for our learning, for our education, for our admonition, to help us to grow to learn. And I hope you do. Well, I hope you have a good week. This week, remember to spend time in the Word of God daily. If you have set aside a time to pray, and especially pray for the needs of our church, those in our church, but also for our church in general. As we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, love to see visitors in our church, love to see, obviously, souls saved and people growing in the Lord. And I know that God will bless if we continue to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Amen? And God will bless you. Okay, Lord, thank you for this time together tonight, once again, to gather and look at your Word. I thank you so much for your goodness to us. What a challenging thought, Lord, that the great prophet in Elijah was challenged with things. Nobody's after our lives right now, so we understand the magnitude of the situation, not making light of that, but also that maybe some smaller remedies, easy remedies to some of our emotions are there for us. But ultimately, Lord, we come back to the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, to empower us, help us to submit our hearts to the Word and to the will. And Lord, you give us the strength. You said that you give more grace, and your grace is sufficient for all of us. Thank you for that. Bless us this week. Protect those traveling back and forth and those out and about. Lord, give us wisdom and strength, and give us the strength to be the lighthouse and testimony we should be in this dark world. We love and thank you again in Jesus' name, and amen.